This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
Citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It is Tuesday, August 9th, and you are listening to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for tuning in as we kick off another big week, another busy week in the world of college football recruiting. Remember, we've got a top 24/7 update in the 2024 class, a refresh coming later this week over at 247sports.com. And we've also been resetting the board as it relates to the team rankings in the 2023 class. There's been obviously some movement, some back and forth. Notre Dame at the time of recording is at the top right now, the number one class with 23 commitments, an average of 93.04, which is really, really good. Bama, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, all up there as well. But the school we wanted to discuss today was Clemson. And to do so, we will bring in Anna Adams of Clemson 24/7, the Tigers website on the 24/7 Sports Network. First of all, Anna, how are you doing?
I'm good. We've had our first camp practice on Friday. No matter how many years I've been doing this, that buzz, that just the adrenaline rush of getting out there on the field, just it never dims. So that might sound a little romantic, I don't know, but it was fun getting back out there and just fun kind of seeing the new freshmen. I always like seeing kind of the guys that, as a recruiting reporter, you know, what they look like on the field next to their older peers. And Clemson's got some new coaches out there. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, a lot to, I think, be optimistic about if you are a Clemson fan. And if you're a national college football fan and just kind of keeping an eye on some other schools, Clemson is one of those schools that I think people forgot about last year, right? There were some bumps in the road. They lost both offensive and defensive coordinator. They've had to replace some talent. They've had, obviously, the loss of some NFL players. The quarterback spot has been a bit iffy, even though there is a lot of star power there. But that's one of those schools that I think is reminding us right now, especially on the recruiting trail, number seven right now nationally, 19 commitments, 14 of those are four stars and two of those are five stars. So a lot of star power coming into Clemson in the 23 class. And I think it's another indication and it's a reminder, like I said, that there is a lot of staying power there for Dabo Swinney on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe in the spring, even last fall, there was some questions like, you know, how is Clemson going to do on the recruiting trail, you know, especially not only after last season, but losing Brent Venables was huge. I mean, Tony Elliott was huge as well, but from a recruiting perspective, Brent Venables, you associate that with the Clemson defense. So, you know, those elite defensive linemen, those edge guys, linebacker, are they still going to want to come to Clemson when you promote a guy like Wes Goodwin, who in-house everyone's super excited about, but, you know, even as reporters, we didn't really know much about. So we who cover the team don't know much about him, even though he's on staff. You know, what are fans and recruits and families going to know about him? Not much, if anything. So, you know, I think Clemson did a good job in the spring getting their top guys on campus. And, you know, you might ask about this, but one of the ways I think that they were able to get so much momentum over the summer specifically is having guys on campus as official visitors for the very first time. So we asked Dabo about that a couple of weeks ago, just like kind of what changed your mind there? Because he was very anti spring summer officials. It was like, no, we will wait until the fall to get them on campus in that capacity. But they hosted over 30 guys the first weekend in June, and that paid dividends.
I think the
the ability to adjust, right? And to maybe call an audible if you are Dabo Swinney, if you are that staff and you wonder, okay, what can we do better? How can we stay true to what we do as a Clemson staff? Because Clemson doesn't offer a lot of prospects. They are one of those schools that offers the least amount of players. They're very selected. They're very methodical. And they were one of those holdouts that wasn't bringing in official visitors in the month of June or in the summer ahead of the season. It was all about getting that in-game experience, getting that game day atmosphere during a game day weekend. And for Dabo to change things up, I think you have to applaud him, right? Because I think he got the temperature of what the recruiting landscape is currently with early commitments, with NIL, with so many questions about collectives and conference realignment and all that sort of stuff. He got ahead of it and it's really paid dividends. What have you taken away from that strategy? Is it just a one-off, or do you think that Clemson has changed for good?
No, they'll continue doing that going forward. Dabo made the point that they're not just going to open up all spring and summer weekends on a recruiting calendar that you can host kids and just all of a sudden just host whoever wants to come on any weekend. They had one weekend that was designated as an official visit weekend. So in terms of making your staff work more, your players as hosts work more, just in general, the effort that goes into hosting official visitors, they consolidated that into one weekend, even though they hosted a ton, 30 kids, which I think Andrew Ivins produced a stat back in June that I don't think any in the since summer officials became a thing, I don't think any school has hosted that many prospects on one single weekend. Maybe Florida did. I don't know. I have to go back and look at that. But anyways, it paid off. I mean, I don't have the exact number in front of me, how many of those visitors, I can go back and count, but how many of those visitors are now either commitments or leans or Clemson is still very much in the mix for. So I think getting them all in one place, Clemson does official visitors, in my opinion, better or as well as anyone in the country. They go to Dabo's house, they have dinner there, shoot hoops, the pool might have been open, the whole thing. And it also creates, you get the commitments on campus already, to the all guys that are already committed, as well as uncommitted guys, get them to know each other. And you're not in a game day atmosphere, so you do have more time to kind of cater to them as a coaching staff. And I think that, if you get, I think they had 6-7 DNs, and they don't have that much room for that many DNs. So, the competitive aspect is there too. Like, hey, if I like Clemson, is my spot going to get taken? Do I need to kind of expedite my recruiting process? And not in a cheap way, and not in a way that won't stick, but just kind of, again, showing these coveted players that hey, you're not the only coveted kid that's interested in Clemson. So I just think it kind of reminded kids out there on the trail, the brand that Clemson has, and, hadn't won two national championships not too long ago. So yeah, maybe fell on hard times last season, but I think that Dabo Swinney kind of flexed a little bit this offseason.
Yeah, Clemson right now pushing for a top five class nationally. We will continue our conversation on the Tigers recruiting class right now. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. I am joined by Anna Adams of Clemson 24/7. She covers football, basketball, and recruiting over on the Tigers website in the 24/7 Sports Network. I remember exchanging a few text messages with you, Anna, over the last maybe two or three recruiting classes, and it was always about a recruit canceling an official visit, or maybe Clemson canceling an official visit. And I think it's very targeted, right? I think that Dabo and that staff do such a great job of getting a feel for a recruit, and they're not just bringing in visitors just for a free trip, right? Like, it's not a vacation. It's not you coming out to see a game on Clemson's dime. It's really about true interest. It's about being able to get an accurate feel for a player and whether or not they have an actual shot of landing him. And, you know, when we were texting, it was usually a player from the West Coast who was trying to get out there just for the fun of it, right? Like, it was maybe Clemson on the outside looking in of a top three or a top four, but they don't waste their time. And I think that's something that sets them apart when it comes to hosting those official visits. Have I gotten kind of a right read on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why they were hesitant in the first place not to host spring and summer official visitors, because they didn't want to just all of a sudden open the floodgate to kids that wanted to come visit Clemson. And their philosophy was, if you really want to see Clemson in the spring or the summer and you're serious about our program, you'll find a way to get here. That was when more of the decision-making, especially for the elite kids, was later in the process. But now, so many kids are committing in June or even before that, I think that's when Clemson recognized, like, okay, at this point, we can't really hold tight and fast to that philosophy anymore. Yes, we can be picky still about who we want on campus, who we target, and make sure that interest is sincere, but we can also tweak what we're doing a little bit just because of the timeline and how recruiting is going these days.
Yeah, I think there's so many variables, and I think some of these schools, right, the Oklahomas, the Clemson, the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Bamas, the Notre Dames, like those, the top tier blue bloods of college football, they make it look a little easier than it is. I think it's tough to recruit to a school that's already loaded with talent and with so many options out there, with so many different variables factoring into recruitment. I think we lose sight of that sometimes, that maybe all the five stars and all the high-end four stars are already on Clemson's roster. At times, affects their ability to make a realistic recruiting pitch and to offer immediate playing time, which is such a big thing for some of these elite recruits that Clemson is going after. Now, Anna, before we go, I did want to touch on potentially what could be happening next for Clemson. We touched on it earlier, 19 commitments already, 16 of those either four or five stars. Not a lot of room left, but Clemson is still in on some key targets.
Yeah, they are. You know, I think wide receiver Ronan Hanifin, I'm not quite sure if that's the correct pronunciation, but he ideally would make a preseason decision, I think, if you asked him. I don't know if that'll carry into the fall. And Notre Dame was regarded as the front runner, but Clemson's kind of overtaken the Irish recently. That would be a big get. I think coaching staffs maybe are a little higher on him than the industry. So we'll see if that, you know, senior year kind of where he falls rankings wise. Caden McDonald, big war daddy from Georgia, that Clemson is in on and might actually lead for. I think Ohio State's in there, Florida's in there, and he plans to take a few visits in the fall. They need a running back. So I will say that wide receiver and running back have not been there. Clemson has struggled a little bit there. Maybe struggle is a little bit harsh of a word, but they're not recruiting lights out at that for those two positions. So I think wide receiver, part of that is new position coach. Kids are still getting used to who Tyler Grisham is. And then B, the passing game last year did not do Clemson any favors. So I mean, Clemson has branded itself as wide receiver U. So, you know, the hope if you're Clemson is that kind of self-corrects itself this season and you're kind of getting those big brand names, you know, those big time top wide receivers looking at Clemson again. But that's also related to NIL, which is a whole nother story. I don't know if we have time today to discuss, you know, how NIL affects Clemson. But, you know, I will say, not to get off on a tangent, but talking about how Clemson, you know, does things a little bit differently. Dabo had a quote this summer that said, you know, the more chaotic college football and recruiting becomes, the better it is for Clemson. Basically insinuating, like, let everyone else kind of, I don't fight amongst themselves with the NIL and self-destruct a little bit. And we're just going to kind of keep doing what we're doing and we're not going to lead with NIL. And if, you know, you come to us asking, what can we do for you in terms of money? Dabo basically said, you know, we're not going to get those kids. So yes, NIL is important and we're going to educate you and teach you about that. But it's just another aspect of our program, just like prehab, rehab, academics would be. So they're not going to lead with that. anyways, back to the guys kind of still on the board. They also want a defensive end. David Hobbs would be a name to know. They have not offered him yet. I think they want to get him back on campus and then probably want another offensive tackle. I guess they could conclude with what they have right now, but I think Clemson, they're working right now with 13 scholarship guys that are available. And I know you always kind of want that 15, 16 number. So if I'm Clemson, I would definitely snag another guy, even if he's not, you know, highly coveted by all the big time programs. I just think another body would be important, and then maybe another safety. But, you know, we'll see what the season brings in terms of attrition and stuff like that. But those are kind of the guys right now on the radar.
Dabo, is that meme where the girl is in the front and there's a fire that broke out in the background? He loves to see the mayhem in college football, and he's going to be pitching stability. And that's what Clemson's all about. Obviously, you mentioned some of the receivers that they're going after and the need for those top tier receivers. Christopher Vezina being the 5-star quarterback that's spearheading this 2023 class. So not a bad pitch to make there if you're Dabo Swinney. Yeah. Come catch some balls from Christopher Vezina, who was terrific at the Elite 11 finals.
Same with the number one quarterback last year, Kate Klubnik, the kid above you, that one class ahead of you. So from that standpoint, Clemson should have plenty to sell. So I think it's just a matter of proving it on the field. And same with the running back. CJ Spiller is a new position coach, and he's accomplished a lot in college, obviously, and played in the NFL. But again, I think NIL has hurt Clemson a little bit there. So I'll be interested to see kind of if they gain traction with Christopher Johnson, South Florida kid who they like, or anyone else.
Yeah. Well, Clemson will be a program to monitor here in the months to come as the season is just around the corner, and you can catch all the coverage over at Clemson 24/7 with Anna Adams. Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Talk soon.
All right. So that was Anna, and for our producer, Lance Glenn. I am Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.